heard a story that apparently it was in the news several years ago. I just recently heard about it, but it stuck with me, and maybe you remember it. But apparently several years ago, excuse me, this pollen is messing with me this morning. But apparently several years ago, there was a jet that was stationed at the terminal. It was about to head out, and the passengers on board were getting upset because there were some passengers missing. And the jet was not going to depart until those passengers arrived. And it was very warm. You know how it is on that plane before it gets going. It's warm, and there's fumes going on, and people begin complaining, and they're frustrated. But when the passengers walked on that jet, they stopped complaining. In fact, from what I understand, they began to applaud. Why in the world did they do that? Well, these men that got on the plane were soldiers. They were in uniform, and it come to find out they were coming home from Iraq to go home and be with their families. The complaining immediately stopped, and they applauded. The story goes that once, and as far as I know, this is a true story, and once the jet landed at their home station there, their home airport, the passengers did not move. They waited and let the soldiers get up and get their bags, their carry-ons, and get off first so that they could go into their family's arms. Why would they do that? Why would they change their attitude from complaints to applause and then sit there and let those soldiers leave? Well, because it was about respect. They respected, and rightly so, those men and those women who served our country. There are things that we respect. And as children of God, we need to be respectful. The Bible talks a lot about this topic, more so than you might even have thought about. It's not always the term respect that you see, but it is that idea that's being discussed, and we'll look at that. But by way of introduction, meet me in Acts chapter 23 for a moment. Acts chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall." You remember last week we were talking some about hypocrisy, and that's what he's discussing, the whited sepulchres that are clean on the outside and dirty on the inside. He says, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, you hypocrite. Why? Because you sit to judge me after the law, and command me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that it was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil, rather, of the ruler of thy people." Very interesting set of scriptures. I don't know why Paul didn't see him, didn't know who he was. Maybe he wasn't wearing the garments that he would have normally been wearing. Maybe it was that Paul's eyesight was causing him not to be able to see well. But for whatever reason, he didn't know who he was talking to. But he changed his attitude, notice, as soon as he realized who it was. In fact, he basically says, if I had known, I would not have spoken to him in such a manner. Why was it that the high priest was someone with which Paul wished he had not spoken that way? Well, this is about respect. Notice here, it's not because Ananias, this high priest, deserved it because of his character necessarily. There's no reason to believe that. But he respected him solely because of who he was in his leadership position. Because he was the high priest, and he knew God's feelings about those who were in these leadership positions in the government, if you will, as we apply this today. But this is about respect, and something we need to be aware of. I want to start by kind of just simply mentioning a few things about respect that you may or may not have thought of. These are things you know, but certainly will help us understand this word. Respect, four things I want to give you to remember that will embody what this word is all about, what it means to respect others. Excuse me. Number one, it's a Latin word that it comes from, and the word literally means to look again. It's the idea, let's say you go outside at night, maybe you forgot to get your mail or something, and you go out, it's night outside, and you're getting your mail, and you look up, and you realize that the skies are clear and the stars are out. And you see those stars, and you just kind of stop what you're doing and look again, in a sense. You just focus for a minute. You let go of yourself, you lose your focus about what you're doing, and you just focus on something else that's caught your attention, that's deserving of your awe, your respect. Right? If you struggle with selfishness, if you're self-absorbed, you're going to struggle with respect. Because respect is about changing your focus from you to someone else or something else, whatever it is you have respect for. Number two, respect is a recognition of the reason. In other words, why is it that I'm respecting this person or this thing or object? Right? In the case of the stars, you are respectful of the one that made those stars because it is fascinating. The reason is they're what, millions of miles away, and they're just a huge ball of fire that looks like specks in our eyes. It's incredible. Balls of gas and the planets that you see and the way they're aligned and the pictures that are drawn. And so we respect for a reason. And so you identify what that reason might be. In Paul's case, it was because Ananias was the high priest, for example. Number three, there's a placing of value. Now, in the King James Version, and really in most of the versions, even some of the more modern ones, you don't necessarily see the word respect a lot. And when you do see it, it's not always referencing what we're talking about, such as Genesis 4 in the Old Testament. God had respect to Abel and his offering and did not have respect to Cain's. It's kind of the idea, but not exactly. The word we're looking for in the King James Version and in others as well is the word reverence, or the word especially honor. The word honor. The word literally means, in the Greek, the word honor that's translated that word anyways, it means to place value upon something. Right? So you have a reason that you respect a person, and you place a value on that person or that object in your mind. Certainly makes sense. We're going to look at that word honor a bit more in a moment. But one more aspect of this is your behavior. Respect means that your behavior changes towards that something or that someone. Right? The words that come out of your mouth might be a little better put together than usual because you respect that person. The way that you're going to act and behave around that person or that object is different. The way you're going to treat that object, whatever, however you want to apply this, is going to be different because there is a respect for it. It's kind of like trust. You trust something or someone, and so you act differently around that person because you trust them. All right, let's look at some ideas. What are some ways that we show respect? Let's, outside of the Bible for just a moment, if you were to think of some things in your mind that you respect in this country or just as a society, what might it be? One of the first ones I thought of would be this flag, right? You go to a ball game, you go to a graduation or whatever you're doing, and if the flag, there's a moment in which somebody maybe says the Pledge of Allegiance or the Star Spangled Banner is sung or played, and a lot of times you see people, they'll take their right hand and they'll put it over their chest. Why do they do that? I looked that up just because I didn't really know the history about it, but it was interesting to me. I won't take the time to share that. But as I was reading it, the very first sentence that I read said, Americans will take their right hand and put it over their chest as a sign of respect. Why do we do that? Because society has deemed that respectful to do that on behalf of our country and what that represents. You live in the Southeast as I do, and I suppose this is true everywhere, but I know it is here. We know what to do when we see a funeral procession, don't we? You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you realize there's a procession of people that are mourning someone that they've lost. Well, what do? You pull over on the side of the road. Well, I think we all would do that, and we see others doing that. Why do we do that? Is it because people that drive hearses can't drive very well? No, that's not it at all. There's a reason why we do that. It's because we respect the dead, and we respect those that are mourning their lost loved ones. And so we do that as a sign of respect, and we don't even know who they are. We may not know that individual at all or any of the people in that line, but it's a sign of respect. I learned recently, and I have to be honest with you, I've done several weddings, but I have not done a funeral yet. And I'm not really sad about that, to be honest. That would be a very difficult thing, I imagine. Maybe some of you have, but I do know this about funerals. I did not know this, but as a preacher, one of the things that you do when you get to the gravesite, if you don't already know, you ask the funeral head director there or whoever's there, you ask them which side of the casket is the dead's head located. You don't want to stand. If you're a preacher at the gravesite, you don't stand at the feet. You stand where the head of the individual that's passed is. I didn't know that. But the reason is because that's a sign of respect. I heard a preacher say, you could not pay me enough money to stand at the foot of a casket. Right? There are things we've deemed as a culture, as a society, as signs of respect. And so we do that. But what we need to know is biblically what matters. Biblically, what are we to respect and not to respect? You might be surprised how much this topic is discussed. Let's look at some examples. What about this one? Number one, parents. Right? Let's be honest. We live, and most of you, and even myself at 28, many of you that are slightly older than I am, you've been there and you were raised in a generation that was taught to respect mom and dad. And you know what that means, to be taught to respect. And that's a good thing. But we live in a generation, not here in the church necessarily, sometimes it's the case, but usually outside of biblical principles, when you talk about parenting today, we're raising a generation that does not know respect. And what happens is, when they leave home, they get into the classrooms, and guess what happens when their teacher demands respect? That teacher doesn't get it. Guess what happens when they get in trouble with authorities and they're not going to get respect? And more importantly, what happens in the church and with the elders and ultimately with God when that child's never been taught that they need to respect authority? There are issues that arise. But the Bible, Ephesians, you know well, chapter 6, talks about this principle. Number one, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, verse 1, for this is right. But verse 2, he says, he goes on to say, and here's our word, honor, place value upon, respect father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. When I read that, I remember thinking, when I was younger, it was a long time ago, but I remember always wondering what that meant. But then when I read verse 3, as I got older, I began to realize that this is referencing back to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. It was one of the Ten Commandments, but it had a promise connected with it. And what that promise was, in some shape, form, or fashion, when one is obedient and honors, respect his or her parents as a young person, then there's a promise that your life will be prolonged. In some sense, your life will be well with you when you respect and honor your parents. You're going to prosper. You're going to do well because parents, guardians, they're taking care of you. And when you learn that respect that we all need to have, not just young people, adults as well, then life is going to be much better, right? When you're respectful to your boss at work, you're a better employee, right? When you're respectful to your spouse, we'll talk about that in a moment, you're a better husband or wife. When you're respectful to your elders, to your God, certainly you are a more faithful Christian. We understand. Genesis 22, this is incredible to me. Have you ever thought about the fact that Isaac, most agree, because there was a gap here. Abraham's older here. And Isaac's not a baby. He's not just a little bitty boy that doesn't know what's going on. We don't know how old he was, but he's old enough to know, to use his brain. And as far as we know, there's no reason that he would not have understood in time what was about to take place. Abraham's taking him up to be offered. There's no goat. There's no offering. There's no lamb. There's no ram at this time. What's going to happen? This young man, whatever age he might have been, probably in decent shape, we could imagine enough that he could have ran away. He doesn't, when he finds out and he says, Dad, right, where's the offering? And he says, God will provide. He's going to put two and two together. Why didn't Isaac push his dad and just run? Why didn't he just take off and get out of there realizing what's about to happen? That is respect. He respected, he trusted, there's that word again connected with that, his father. Could you do that, young people? If you, or even as a parent, could you do that and offer your child to God? Right? We like to think that we could and that we would if that happened, but that would be difficult. But put yourself in Isaac's shoes. What would you do if your parent said, "Listen, God's told me that I need to offer you"? Right? I there's something that needs to. And if you didn't know already, and he starts to strap you down, you're going to wonder what's going on. Why am I the offering here? We need to respect parents. And with this, young people, again, I'm picking on them, but we're going to get to the adults more in a minute. But with this, too, something I learned the hard way is we need to also, in respecting parents, we need to speak kindly to them, of course, and trust them. But we also need to respect their decisions and their friends and their loved ones. I'll give you a prime example. I had a long story, but my parents ended up divorcing. My mom had the right to remarry. I was in high school, and she met a man, and it didn't matter who that man was. I wanted her to myself. You, some of you have been there, right? You want that parent to yourself. I don't want her being with somebody else. And so another man, he was a faithful Christian. He was good to her. There was no reason for me not to like him, but I just didn't want her to be with somebody else. And so I wasn't very kind to him. I didn't speak kindly to him. But guess what? I should have. And I, you know, things are great now. That was back when I was in, you know, high school. And I apologize since then. But, you know, we ought to respect young people, our parents, not only them, but also their friends and the ones that they love. Unless they're doing something contrary to God's will, we need to respect them and all that they have and all that they do. And that's certainly the Lord's way. Let's look at another one, though. Maybe you wouldn't think of this as part of this topic, but it really is. Respecting property rights. Now, biblically, Old Testament and New, there's this principle of stealing. Don't steal. Exodus 20:15, Ephesians 4:28. That was one of the commandments, right? In Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. I'm not talking about going, although this is included, but probably you're not tempted to go into the grocery store and jerk some whatever a Shepherd-E can or whatever, right? Or at the gas station and try to think what they have for you to steal, or a candy bar or whatever, and sneak out. You're probably not going to do that, although that's included. But even beyond that, stealing, you know, it doesn't take stealing something that's expensive or something in a store for it to be a crossing the line, as it were, with property rights, a disrespect. The principle behind this is somebody else has something or owns something, and I respect that, right? If somebody lets you borrow something that's not yours, how are you going to treat that object? You're driving somebody else's car. Maybe that's a bad example because it's expensive, but whether it's something small or large, you're using somebody else's property, you're going to respect that. You're going to give it back to them to the best of your ability the way that you received it, right? You're in school, young folks, and you're taking an exam, and the kid behind you, he's real smart. She's real smart. She studied hard, and you know they've got the right answers, right? And you want to copy that information and put it on your own paper, right? You're stealing their work, their information. Adults, plagiarism, piracy, copying Blu-rays and DVDs illegally and giving them to other people, or books, or all downloading music illegally. All of these things, these are property rights. We're disrespecting. We're not being respectful of other people's property, other people's work, other people's rights. What about this one? 2 Timothy 3:3, he talks about perilous times that are coming. And he mentions truce breakers, King James Version in verse 3. That is, those that break covenants, contracts, right? We all have been in contracts. And as Christians, we are to respect our end of the bargain. A child of God should not be found not living up to their end of that contract, right? That's certainly included. Property rights. Someone passes away, and their will says, maybe you don't agree with it, you don't understand it, but in their will they say, I want you to take these particular goods and I want you to burn them in a pile. I want you to burn them, light them up, right? I would rather have those things, right? But I respect their property. It's their property, it's their rights, and if they want me to do that with them, I'm going to respect that and do that, right? There's so many things we could talk about in this particular point, but we have several more and we want to keep going. Respect property rights. Respect other people's things. Don't even take a pen from someone's desk. It doesn't have to be of huge value to be stealing. What about family? We talked about parents, but let's talk more in general about the family for a moment. God tells us to respect His institution of family. All right, get your Bibles. I've done a lot of talking and not a lot of reading. Let's go to Matthew 21 and read a few verses together. Matthew 21, verse 33. This is a parable of a husbandman, of a vineyardman here. But maybe there's something that hasn't stood out to you when you're reading this before. But when you're doing this subject, maybe you'll notice it. Think about family here in respect and see if you notice it. Read with me. Matthew 21, 33. We'll read just a few verses. Jesus says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. So he builds this vineyard, this area, but he leaves, and he's going to entrust it to others to take care of it. Verse 34, when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Right? He's going to make some money off of this, and then he's going to take that money and use it to give some to himself and to pay those who worked for him. However, when the servants arrive, verse 35, the husbandmen get greedy. They take the servants, they beat one, they kill another, and they stone the third. They mistreat them, they abuse them. Verse 36, again, he doesn't understand, so he sends more servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But look at verse 37. Of all the things for him to do, but last of all, he sent unto them his son. Why in the world would he send his son after all of those servants were beaten, some of them killed? Well, he explains at the end of verse 37. They will reverence my son. They will respect him. Why? Because he's part of my family. Do you know those, or have you maybe even been one of those that you've seen a young person that's respected, that's cared for especially because of who their dad is or because of who their mom is? And so you respect them because there is a family, right? You respect, again, I talked to the young people for a minute here. As a teenager, you begin dating someone and you're respectful to that person, that male or that female, because another way to look at it, they have parents. And you're respectful to their family, and you treat that person like their parents would want you, right? You've been that boy, guys, who's had to deal with the girl's dad, and maybe he was one of these guys that, you know, came at you and kind of gave you that talk, you know, and that didn't happen with me, but you see it, you hear about it. He's got the gun, and he cocks the gun, or whatever he does, right? He pulls you in and tells you he'll go back to prison if he has to, whatever he has to say to get your attention. But you respect that person, that youth, because of who their family is. But there's so much more than just that. I want to talk for a minute about marriage. Because marriage is something that is, of course, instituted by God, but it's something that our nation really struggles with. Marriages just are falling apart all over the place, even in the Lord's body. And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons, I really believe, is a lack of respect for our spouse. A lack of respect for the other person in that covenant marriage bond. 1 Peter 3:7, this works both ways. Husbands, right, you're to honor her as the weaker vessel. There's that word, place value upon, respect her. Not only are you to love her, you're to respect her. What does that mean? It means that you're not focused on you, you're also focused on her. It means that you recognize the reason that you chose to marry her to begin with and why you respect her and love her so much. You place value upon her and treat her as not your own but the Lord's. Treat her as if she's borrowed from someone else, because really she is. The Lord bought her with a price. And then the fourth one there, which was, it just left me. What was number four? Man, I thought if I dwelled on it, it'd come to me. But you ever just have that mental block when you just know it's not going to happen? There was a fourth part of this, and it'll come back to me in a minute. But anyways, you're respecting her. You are loving her. You're treating her as you would want to be treated. All of those things. If we really always respected our spouse, right, our marriage would just be so much better, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. The true is vice versa. The flip is also true of the wife to the husband. Ephesians 5:33, and it's always been puzzling to me, because there, in a discussion about love and husbands love your wives, but it doesn't say wives love your husbands, not there anyways. It says let her reverence her husband. And so the same is true. She is to respect him just as he is to respect her. And I truly believe, that if we respected our spouses as God's talking about here, our marriages would be much happier. They'd be much better, wouldn't they? And you learn, you know, when you're, and I've only been married 5 years, almost six now, five and a half, and we're learning more and more about this every day. Many of you have been married for much longer than that. Some of you 50 years or more, which, what a great example and blessing that is. But I imagine those that have been married a lot longer than myself and Amber could attest to that more than anyone, that when you learn to respect each other, your marriage is going to be a better place, a better home, a better family to want to be around, a happier home. Let me mention a few more very quickly. This one is, I'm very passionate about this, because I've always, and I was raised this way, and most of you were too, but regardless, it's what the Bible teaches. We need to respect those who are older than we are, just to put it plainly. We need to respect them. They've been on this earth longer, they've been through more, they've worked more, they're experienced more, they're wiser, I realize they're exceptions to the rule, but it doesn't matter. It's not because of they're in a leader position in this case. It's not because of that they deserve it. Maybe you believe that or not. Just because they are older than you, they deserve your respect. That's God's way, period. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, right? He talks about treating elders as you would a father. He's not talking about elders in the church as in the leaders, the shepherds. He's talking about older men. We know that because at the end of the verse, he talks about younger brethren, and then verse 2 and 3, he talks about elder women and widows. So he's referencing the aged. He says, you respect them. You honor them as they are certainly due. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 50. I really want to turn to this one. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Very quickly. Again, this is another one of those passages that it may just not jump out at you until you read it in the mindset of respect. He's talking here about when Israel gets into Canaan's land, and he describes to them, you know, if you do what I say and you obey my statutes, my commands, and you're going to be fine. I'm going to bless you. Things will be great. But if you disobey me, if you turn against me and serve other gods, I'm going to send a nation to take you. I'm going to send a nation to destroy you. But look at what he says in verse 50 about this nation. Just verse 50. He says, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. In a description of the wickedness of this nation, it's a nation who doesn't care about the elderly. It's a nation who doesn't care about the older. Isn't that interesting? Right? What kind of people don't care about those who are older, who need and deserve your respect? You go through the Bible. An interesting study would be to take a concordance and just reference all the times the Bible mentions widows and how the Bible talks about them. One example is James 1, in verse 28, the fatherless and the widows. Pure religion is to visit them and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody, but it's not just the preacher's job, and I'm not saying that because I am he in this case, but it's not just a preacher's job to visit and to care for the elder. That's the responsibility of the congregation, of every Christian. And certainly you do such a good job in that. But man, do we need to respect our elderly and show them how much we love them and appreciate the time that they've served us. And now we can serve them. Civil law, Romans 13 and verse 5, talks about honor. If you've been to a court before, many of you have probably been, maybe not because you were necessarily involved in it, but maybe it was jury duty, maybe it was mock trial, like I did that in high school. For whatever reason, you've seen it on TV. You know what happens when that judge walks into the room. What is everybody going to do? You don't know the person, maybe. Maybe you don't even think they deserve your respect, but when the judge walks into the room, everybody's going to stand up. Well, why is that? It's, again, a sign of respect. You respect what he or she stands for, which is the law of this country. You know, the Bible tells us to do that, to respect the law. And I'll just mention in verse 5 there, he says, you respect the law not only because he's a leader that I've placed in position and you're to respect him for that reason, but also, he says, for conscience' sake. Very interesting to me. In other words, it's an interior thing going on, and it results in an action. That was number 4, behavior. I found it. I remembered it. That was bothering me. I just kept thinking of it the whole time. Number 4, it's a change of behavior. That's what I was trying to remember. Anyways, you can just see my struggles up here as I'm going through. And remember that I am human. I'm very much human. Sometimes worse than that. But last one. Last one, and I'll leave it to you. Most importantly, we need to respect our God. You know this. You know John 4:24. We must worship Him in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. But in conclusion, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 11 with me. 1 Corinthians 11. And you're here this morning because you respect our God, because you love Him, and what you're doing right now is worship to Him. As you focus upon Him and His Word, as you sing praises to Him, partake of the Lord's Supper in a moment, all of these things come from the heart. But here's something that'll make you shake just a little bit in your boots, if you will. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You recall they were partaking of it inappropriately. They were just using it as a meal. For in eating everyone, and even getting inebriated with the cup, they were drinking alcohol. For in eating everyone that taketh before other his own supper, one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Notice this. Or despise ye the church of God and shame them to have not? What I want you to get from this is Paul could derive from the way they were worshiping God that they despised Him. Their worship revealed that they disrespected God and His will instead of respected. You see where we're going with this? When you worship God, the way that you worship Him, what's going on in your mind, signifies to yourself and to God if you respect Him or not. Right? Not only just in being here, and that's respectful in and of itself, attending, but it goes beyond that. What about being here on time? Isn't it respectful to be here, to show God you care enough to get... Now, I know sometimes things happen. I'm not talking about that, but someone who just constantly is late to service and they just can't quite make it on time, and right, there's respect that's involved with that. Right? What about what you put on for services? And everybody's different. Everybody has different things. I'm not talking about you have to wear a coat and tie and all of that. And everybody has what they have. But you know how much effort and preparation you put in and respect you're going to show when you walk through that door. Nobody comes in here in pajama pants, right? You don't do that, or a sweatshirt. Why? Because it's respectful. You go to a funeral or to a wedding, and what do? You put on attire that shows respect. There's so many things we could discuss in that show your respect for worship, right? Not just being involved with the worship, but being here on time and having a mindset and a preparation of wanting to worship God and give Him all the respect and reverence that He deserves. That's the point. That's the point. Friends, we want to be respectful to one another, to our church, to our brethren. We want to be respectful to our elders. We want to be respectful to our God, to everybody in this world that we can be. This is a subject, a topic that I believe is lacking in our country today. We're really, really faltering in this topic of respect. And we get this mindset that if it's not a person deserving of it, I don't have to respect them. Right? Final verse, I promise you. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. He says, "Servants, you be respectful to your masters, not only that are good and gentle, but those that are froward, those that are wicked, ungodly." He says, you respect, there's a principle there. People need your respect, they deserve your respect, period. You be good to them because of who they are, if they're elderly, if they're a person in a leadership position, if they're your brethren in Christ, whoever it is, you be respectful to them as you would want them to be respectful to you. Maybe it is that you're here this morning and you've struggled with this topic. You've not been respectful to those around you, and more importantly, you've not been respectful to God. Maybe it is that there's something else that's going on, some other sin that's hindering you from being right with Him. We want to encourage you to make that right this morning. God has given you another opportunity to obey the gospel if you've never become a Christian, or to repent and come back to Him if you've fallen away in sin. If you're willing to believe and to repent of sin, to confess Jesus, the Son of God, before men, and to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, you can do that this morning. If you've done that already and stumbled back into sin, whether it's this topic or something else, then confess that sin. Let's pray about it. We want to encourage you and help you any way that we can. Won't you come forward as a sign of respect for your God? If there's sin in your life, come forward right now. Make it right as we stand and sing together.